Dan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Mr. Hutton Gibson, and we're going to be talking about his view of what's going on in the world today. You may have heard of his son. His name is Mel Gibson. But Mr. Gibson apparently had felt so deeply about what was happening during the Vietnam era that he packed up his family. And how many children did you have, Mr. Gibson?
Ten.
And you moved off to Australia?
Yes, it was a coincidental thing. Now, they had a draft in Australia, too.
Right.
But it wasn't blanket as much as it was in this country. Mel was about 6 years too young to get drafted. So, but, you know, I stayed over there 30 years. So...
Well, of course, you felt strongly enough about the injustice of the Vietnam War that you were willing to uproot your family and leave. And of course, many people might have been critical of you. Looking back, I think you were absolutely right. Certainly, this war was never fought for the reasons that the boys who went over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die believed.
Well, you know, I went to World War II.
Right.
And I came back and I watched these so-and-sos. We won the war for them, and then they give it to the communists. Give the whole world to the communists.
Right.
And built them up. So there's nobody in my family going to a war unless it's an invasion of our country.
All right, and I agree with you. I think that we have to have people who are willing to fight and defend their country. But the First World War didn't defend America. The Second World War didn't defend America. Korea and Vietnam certainly didn't defend America. And where we are today certainly isn't defending America.
Yeah, well, you know, we got frontiers on the moon.
Well, I think that sometimes they try to focus our attention on the moon so we're not watching what's happening here on Earth. In fact, it's my contention that one of the major reasons for Vietnam was to distract the attention of the American people from the fact that we were losing our freedom here at home. And, of course, it was during that Vietnam War when the flag-draped coffins were coming back and weeping widows and weeping mothers that they took God and prayer out of our schools, that they changed our immigration laws, they began to centralize power in Washington, D.C. They found a woman somehow had a right to kill her unborn child. They changed America while we were watching what was going on in Vietnam.
And we didn't even get the right dope. They had much better coverage of the war in Australia.
Right. Well, if I think it's even true today, isn't it, where you really don't get the truth here about what's going on over in Iraq?
Well, if anyone paid any attention to the truth, we wouldn't be there.
Well, that's, of course, your job and my job is to get the truth out across America and to try to get people thinking about what's going on, to try to get them to begin to question what they read in the newspapers. Don't you think the newspapers are one of the major problems that we have today?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's been a long time since I believed what I read in the papers.
Well, how are we going to reach the people? How are we going to get to them and get them to think? Because so many people don't want to hear the truth because it's disquieting, and yet we have an obligation to tell them, don't we?
That's what I think, yes. I have the kind of a solution which may work if you give it a shot.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back here from this break with Mr. Hutton Gibson, who had 10 children, one of whom was Mel Gibson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we invite your calls here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls. That we have with us Mr. Hutton Gibson, who's one of his 10 children, was named Mel Gibson. But we're talking about Mr. Gibson's view of what's going on today and the fact that the average American is not getting the truth. Now, Mr. Gibson had packed up and left America during the Vietnam War so his sons wouldn't be drafted, and he was, so you were 30 years over there in Australia?
That's right.
What did you think of Australia?
When we got there, it was a paradise. Everybody was working, everybody was happy, but it's a smaller country, and they managed to drive their manufacturing out and every other industry and get the farms all shut down much more successfully than here.
Well, don't you think, though, that we're beginning now to almost catch up with Australia as we systematically and intentionally ship our jobs overseas?
It's not just the jobs that go, it's our ability to make war.
Sure.
This is absolute treason.
Well, of course, you know, but these people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know.
Yeah.
You know, I read the most amazing article this morning. I have to get up very early because I have an early morning radio program. And, you know, it was an article on what's happening to people who've lost their jobs and get a new job. Here in California, if you lost your job and now you've got a new job, your new job on average pays 40% less than your old job. In other words, if you had a job that was making $100,000 a year, you now have a job that's making $40,000 a year. This is true all across America, and actually it's about 21% overall. California is one of the worst as far as what's happening. But for the average individual, you know, with a big debts that they incurred when they were getting the big salaries, this disastrous cut in pay is going to create real problems. But I think we're seeing a situation where they're intentionally lowering the living standards of the American people. Did they do that sort of same thing over in Australia?
Oh, yes, absolutely. People were, even when they kept a company or a manufacturing outfit there, it was foreign owned, and immediately the working conditions went to the devil.
And I think that this is a worldwide movement. It's so important that people understand what's happening in America is simply a microcosm of what's happening across the world today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Mr. Hutton Gibson, and we're talking about, he's had some ideas on what we might be able to do to reach people across America with the truth, because as Mr. Gibson pointed out, you know, if you read the newspapers in America, you don't find out what's really going on. You find out what the establishment wants you to read. And he was saying that when he was in Australia, at least you got a lot more truth. And certainly we know from reading WorldNet Daily and other publications that if you read the Southeast Asia Times or you read the Sunday Tribune out of England or many of the European newspapers, La Figueroa, you're going to get an entirely different slant on the news of what's going on in the world than you will reading the controlled publications here in the United States. So how are we going to reach the American people and get them away out of the doldrums, get them thinking, and get them involved in this truly epic struggle for the survival of our way of life? Mr. Gibson, what are your thoughts?
Well, we are being taxed to death.
Right.
And I think there is the key. It's costing everybody so much to keep the government in place. And they simply borrow and borrow and borrow. And what they borrow is what they should issue. We shouldn't have to pay this tremendous federal debt, which piles up and compounds and compounds. And that is a result, again, of another case of treason, where the government, the federal government, was delegated a power, and it sold it.
If I
borrow your lawnmower and I sell it to my boss, it still belongs to you. And we can still get this thing back. We still own that power.
You're speaking about now the power to create money.
That and other things.
All right.
Like the power to have your morals handled and not as a constitutional matter. What is constitutional or unconstitutional about murdering children before they're born?
But you see, the average American doesn't even understand our Constitution, nor the fact that, you know, this idea of life, liberty, and property that we see written about in our Declaration of Independence would apply to the life of the unborn as well as the born.
And then when they grow up, they get the ultimate tax put on them. They're sent off somewhere to get shot at and bombed and strafed and vaccinated, things like that. You know, this is not freedom.
But, of course, war is used by governments to rally people behind them. And then, of course, if you speak out against these senseless wars that they fight, somehow you're the bad guy. And, of course, the other means of war is a very efficient means of controlling the populace in the name of, we have to keep Saddam Hussein from attacking New York City. That's why we've got to have, take away more freedom from the American people, and why we have to have a police state here, because Saddam Hussein may attack us at any moment. Or was it Osama bin Laden? Well, one of the two is going to attack us.
Yeah, well, like in World War II.
Right.
They kept the people from eating properly. Ration the meat and the butter and stuff like that as though there weren't plenty of it around.
And I think that's really so important. They were really playing games with our minds at that time. There were no shortages, but they had to give this impression there was a shortage. That we were really in this struggle for our life, and yet, of course, what few people understand is that time and again they could have ended the war, and they refused to end it. And those of you who haven't seen that article that we have out of the Chicago Tribune, I got from them personally, talking about how the Japanese kept trying to surrender. It was either 5 times in 7 months or 7 times in 5 months. And we wouldn't let them surrender until after we'd dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And if you'd like the copy of that article from the Chicago Tribune, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll send it to you. It was all as phony as a $3 bill. We kept that war going as long as we could for the psychological impact on America, and, of course, to get the people ready for the New World Order in the form of the United Nations. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Gibson?
That's a pretty good statement, and let's go a little further with that. They could have, if they had to drop that bomb, they could have dropped it within sight of Tokyo, out in the ocean. But they picked the two most Christian sections of Japan and bombed the daylights out of it.
And I think that's so important that they intentionally picked the areas where the Christians lived. There weren't that many Christians in Japan, but we killed most of them, didn't we?
We did. Hiroshima was almost all. And Nagasaki was, it owed its existence to the Portuguese missionaries. It was just a strip of sand till they got there.
Right. And the thing is, the American people are never told these things. They're never told that it was unnecessary to drop those bombs. We're told, think of all the American lives that we saved by dropping those bombs. We would have had to invade Japan. And the average American doesn't know the Japanese kept trying to surrender. And I know because I personally talked to General Albert Wedemeyer, who was in command in China. He was a 4-star general. And he told me that the Japanese kept trying to surrender, and he kept relaying those messages back to the United States. And, of course, our State Department had no intention of ending the war, because even at that time it was under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations. He didn't tell me that, but it's very obvious it was.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, of course, it's so vitally important that the average individual begins to get a grasp of history, because this is not taught in our schools, and certainly Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Rush Limbaugh, and Bill O'Reilly are never going to tell this to the American people.
They're going to tell them a lot, but it's like the paper. You don't believe it.
Right. So how are we going to reach the people, Mr. Gibson? You know, I think you're absolutely right. Our problem is taxation. Our problem certainly is the monetary system. But, of course, how are we going to get the American? The average American isn't concerned about the monetary system as long as he has greenbacks in his pocket. He doesn't understand that once you get off a real monetary system, the value of that currency could be destroyed overnight, and with it, the value of their life savings, of their pensions, of their annuities, of everything that they've spent their whole life working for, and the middle class could be impoverished literally overnight.
Well, all they've got to do is say, well, let's pay off the federal debt.
Well, I don't think there's any intention of paying off that federal debt. I think it can disappear simply by making the debt useless and money worthless.
Well, right. That's one way to do it. Another is just to pile it up to where we could never possibly get out from under it under ordinary conditions. So I think we should tackle the base of the problem, and that is the federal government.
All right, how are we going to go about that? How are we going to get the average American who doesn't even know there's a problem, who's more concerned about who's going to win the Super Bowl, than they are about these concepts of individual freedom under God?
Well, I think this solution, the only bloodless solution I can see, because it's going to come to blood one way or another. Either we're going to have a revolt, which will be bloody, or we're going to have a terror come in. And that's the first thing they do when they take over, is kill millions of people for no reason whatsoever except to scare the rest.
Now, that's exactly what they did at the time of the French Revolution, where they actually...
Yes, and from everything from there on.
Right.
Look at Pol Pot. Look at Mao Zedong. Look at Joe Stalin. We have a legal and perfectly legitimate method of doing this, and that is to secede. Each state simply secedes from the federal government, leaves it high and dry, as they say they're talking about in Arizona, where they say that they will dissolve the federal government. They're making a small mistake there. There's something in their policy, which they may have changed, but where I read about it, they were going to assume their pro rata share of the federal debt, of the national debt. And that's not the idea. If you're going to dissolve a government, you dissolve everything that goes with it.
Well, of course, we fought a civil war over that. In fact, back in 1794, when they had the Whiskey Rebellion because of the Democrat Society set up by the Illuminati up in Pennsylvania, and of course they sent the federal troops in and put that down. And that was what the Civil War was fought about, was the South, I think, had a right to succeed. But, of course, Abraham Lincoln, the real Abraham Lincoln, wouldn't let them.
Yeah, I know.
And, so I don't think the average individual is ready to fight a civil war reclaim his freedom. I think we have to educate them, first of all, what freedom is all about. I don't think the average American understands our Constitution.
But we don't have all that much time.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, the American Revolution went on about, 3% of the population?
Right.
And Civil War, wait.
What a senseless slaughter and a waste that was. And it was simply because the people in Washington, D.C. wanted to force their will on the Southerners, who were sick and tired of having the tariffs used to exploit them, the power of Washington, D.C., to steal from the people in the South.
I think there was another reason for that, was to break down state lines for the benefit of the railroad company.
May very well have been, but it certainly wasn't about slavery, and that's one of the most popular misconceptions.
Yeah, Lincoln never freed a slave, did he?
Well, he passed the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves in the South, but not the slaves in the North that were under his control. And besides that, the Emancipation Proclamation, I don't think, was passed until either late 62 or 63. So it had nothing to do with the slavery. In fact, the only reason they passed the Emancipation Proclamation is they had the draft riots up there in New England, and 2,000 people were killed because they didn't want to be drafted to fight in this stupid war that Abraham Lincoln was so intent upon bringing. And after that, he decided, we have to have a cause celebre. Let's make it slavery.
Yeah, I know it didn't start that way.
But, of course, the average American has no idea about that, Mr. Gibson, and that's why we have to reach them.
Slavery was dead, you know.
Right.
The potato famine in Ireland killed it.
And the people were ready to give up slavery. In fact, the people who were defending were most of those who wanted to get a war going, and they did. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I have to tell you about a few of the other items we carry. We carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life water filters. And this is a convenient way of having good water in case there was an emergency. And you could filter lake or pond or river water, and it would be very, very potable. Now, the Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. The Berkey Light is made out of Lexan polymer. The Big Berkey has ceramic filters. The Berkey Light has black Berkey filters, which really work more efficiently, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, depending on how much you use them. For both units, you can actually get post filters that will take out the fluoride, although they have to be replaced every 6 months or so. But if you're in an area where there's fluoride, you need to filter that out, because fluoride is a toxin. In fact, it's the active ingredient in Prozac. Fluoride is the active ingredient in rat poison. And, of course, we know it's carcinogenic. We know it affects fertility. You certainly want to get yourself a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light. You can see them on our website at radioliberty.com. The Big Berkey is $239.95. The Berkey Light's $199.95. $10 shipment for both of them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we also carry a Phenopoly. And Phenopoly is a wonderful program designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. They've systematically dumbed down our children. It's time we gave them that opportunity to read. Reading levels in this country are terrible, not by accident, but by intent. If you can learn phonics, why you could then you could spell, you can pronounce words, you can read phonetically, and it changes the entire way that your brain works. Most of these programs to teach children phonics are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800 for the introduction. This is $139.95. It's designed by Myrna Culbraith, who created the phonics game. So if you'd like to get a Phenopoly set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's $139.95, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Mr. Hutton Gibson. We're talking about, of course, his views on what we can do as individuals to try to stop this move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, the loss of all freedom. And, you know, Mr. Gibson, I think the average American really has very little idea what's going on today. I think he is so misled by the pundits in the media. He's so confused by what he reads in the newspaper and what he sees on television. He really has no grasp what's going on, although I think most people know something's going on. They just have no idea what it is. Would you think that would be a fair statement?
Well, that's pretty good, but you would think that he would figure out how much he is taxed for the benefit of these other people, people outside the country, people anywhere. But here. I mean, people starve here in this country, and our money goes overseas and helps other people, underdeveloped countries. The whole idea is we have to have a level playing field, as they put it in Australia, which means that our playing field has to sink. We got to get off the mountain, and it doesn't help anyone else.
Well, I always like to say that they want to raise the living standards of the average American worker to that of the Chinese peasant.
Yeah.
At that point, why, we'll all be equal and we'll have a really level playing field.
Yes, that's great. That's wonderful.
And you point out about how we send our money overseas. Most people don't know that we sent $5 billion, at least $5 billion, to Saddam Hussein immediately before the first Gulf War so he could build up his military. And if anybody doubts that, we have an article out of the Washington Post, of all places, that tells how we provided Saddam with the chemical and biological weapons, how we provided him with $5 billion before we told him it was okay to go ahead and attack Kuwait. You can get that article if you just request it by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. President Bush was so intent upon taking that $20 billion for rebuilding the infrastructure of Iraq, and we weren't going to lend them the money to help them. We were going to give it to them. He wasn't giving his money. He was giving our money to build up the infrastructure and make it better than it was before. That doesn't seem quite right, Mr. Gibson.
No, it doesn't. They shut down steel mills in this country to... They build them. They build them in foreign countries, like Korea.
And I think that's what's so amazing. We actually build them. We subsidize them in other countries to undercut our own business. And nothing makes sense unless you understand that these people in charge really have no loyalty to America. Would that be a fair statement?
It is. Perfectly true. That's so obvious. I don't have to even think it over.
Well, of course, you know, you obviously must have some idea of the influence of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Rhodes Scholarships, and how this all ties together. Were you aware of that? I know that your son Mel had made some reference to that in an article he wrote that was published in George Magazine about the part that the Rhodes Scholarships play in this whole move towards the world government.
Oh, yes. They're wherever they are, they're not much good.
Have you noticed that we now have a choice between, for the Democrat nomination, Wesley Clark, who's a Rhodes Scholar, and John Kerry, who comes from Skull and Bones? Both of them, incidentally, do come from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the American extension of the Council on Foreign Relations. So, and yet, nobody mentions this to the American people. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we are supposed to be able to find this out for ourselves, I suppose.
I think that's so vitally important that the American people just take advantage of the alternative sources that are out here, and then, of course, gather the information, and it's, we're going to have to tell people, telling people, telling people. I don't know how else we're going to disseminate the information. Do you?
Well, I know that as soon as you say conspiracy or plot, you will become a fruitcake.
But, of course, why should it be? Because the Holy Scriptures talk about conspiracy, the conspiracy against God. And in Jeremiah 9:11 and 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25 talk about this conspiracy against God. It's always been there. I really believe that's what this is about today. What do you think?
Well, I say that every government in the world, every legitimate government in the world, has been treated to the same tactic as the Catholic Church. Been infiltrated from the top.
They
don't get them from the bottom. They don't. There's no real groundswell for any of these things. It's all imposed.
And I think you're absolutely right. Because don't just pick on the Catholics.
Pick on the Catholic Church because it's my church.
I know. Well, I'm a Protestant, and I will tell you they're doing the same thing to the Protestant church, and the average Protestant has no idea what's happening. That's the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church, the seeker-friendly church. It's all part of a carefully conceived plan to do exactly to the Protestants what tragically has happened to the Catholics. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Hutton Gibson.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800, or the Winter Room off the eastern coast of America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV and I'll be here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we actually carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims about them, medical claims. We will tell you an awful lot of people who use them really believe that they've had miraculous results in the way of cleaning up their rashes or acne. And I know I did have a rash on my forehead, and since I've been using this moisturizing Miracle 2 soap, it's gone away. My wife, of course, uses all of these products, and of course, she claims that her heartburn is ever so much better using it. She still has to take an occasional pill, but certainly not taking a pill every day as she was. And some people claim that it helps the lower intestinal tract. All we can do is suggest that you get these substances and try them. I love the gel, especially. I put it on my hair every day. My wife puts it on burns and all sorts of things, and the gel really seems to have, I don't know why it doesn't help people, but it seems to, and people report this. All we can do is suggest that you get the Miracle Tooth products and try them. We hope that you'll like them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we also hope that many of you out there will want to get some of our products, like, for instance, our four-tape set on the secret government, an interview with Professor Quigley's mentor. Professor Carol Quigley was the man who told Bill Clinton about the Council on Foreign Relations and about the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created. And you'll be fascinated to hear our interview with Professor Carol Quigley. Nobody else has anything like this. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the secret government four-tape set. And then get our four-tape set on secret societies and get information there that you're not going to get elsewhere, and how they've made mockery of the electoral process, controlling both the Democrat and the Republican candidates in every election going back to the time of Alf Landon. So, well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess, this afternoon. It's Hutton Gibson, and actually, of course, Pastor Butch Paul, who is on a couple of hours after me, is a good friend of Mr. Gibson. He'd given me his name and talked about their friendship and really how much he'd learned from Mr. Gibson. You're getting on a little bit in years, aren't you, Mr. Gibson? Do you want to mention how old you are?
Yeah, well, it doesn't signify much. 85.
85 years around. So you've seen a lot of these things, the way they use the same techniques over and over again to deceive the people.
Absolutely. I often say, you know, I get back on the church again. I was 40 years old when Pius XII died. I was a seminary student. I was interested in the church all the time, and nobody paid any more attention to what the bishop said than I did. And now I look around, and if I could see what I know exactly what the church is, because I was 40 years in it. And if I could see it anywhere now, I might recognize it. I insist that I have that power to recognize what I was raised in. And it's just gone.
Well, have you ever heard any of the talks given by Malachi Martin or read any of his books?
I've read a few of his books. I'm not wild about him.
All right, fine. Well, I know there were some questions, but he simply seemed to have a good grasp of what was happening in the Catholic Church.
Well, he didn't have a good enough grasp to report it properly.
Well, where do you think that he was mistaken then in his reporting?
He didn't take any account of the fact that we haven't had a pope since Pius XII.
Okay. Well, I suspect, you know, sort of reading between the lines and actually talking to him many times, he was sort of walking a tightrope And although he was very praiseworthy in some respects of the Pope, I had a feeling that he was sort of tearing his hair out saying, why isn't the Pope doing what he ought to be doing?
Well, that's been going on since John 23rd, got it.
Right.
Look, the purpose of the papacy is preservation. The Pope is supposed to take, and he used to swear to this, to take exactly what was handed to him and pass it on without any modification, no change, no subtraction, no division, no multiplication, no addition, no nothing, just hand it on as he got it to his successor. That was his oath. That was his oath of office. Our standard of belief, our standard unity, and these fellows have just, the last four of them, have just fractured us.
Well, you know, the interesting thing in Malachi Martin's Windswept House, he talked about, frankly, satanic ceremonies being taking place in the basement of the Vatican. Now, the book was fiction, but I asked him, Malachi, you know, is this really true? Oh, he says it is true. He said, I had to put it in fictional form, and he talked about the homosexuality and how certain of the cardinals were going right along with this whole homosexual movement. And I says, is it true? And he says, of course it's true. And he even told you which diocese this was coming from, although he changed the names of the cardinals. But he was trying to get the Catholics to see, you know, this homosexuality permeating the hierarchy of the Catholic Church was going to bring it down and just totally discredit it.
Yeah, well, they brought it down without bothering with that. This is, I think, a byproduct of what they did.
Right.
A young man comes into the seminary now, if he's straight, out he goes. They don't want anybody that is going to question or knows how to think. That you have to be what they always used to say about us Catholics, that we're just a bunch of sheep.
Well, I interviewed a young man who was a Catholic ceremony, seminary, and that's exactly what happened to him because he was straight and wouldn't go along with the homosexual agenda. He was thrown out of the seminary. And yet this had been going on for a long period of time, and it wasn't until very recently, where all these lawsuits came about, that there was any outcry. And this would still be going on today if it hadn't been for the lawyers.
There is some good in the lawyers.
there really is. In fact, I hate to say that, but I saw this certainly with tobacco and what the doctor should have done and did not, why at least the lawyers did do, and that was bring out really what a terrible thing this was and put pressure that at least has forced the tobacco manufacturers to admit that they've known it was carcinogenic and they've known it was killing people and they've known how harmful it was to their health, and now that at least they will say there is no such thing as a safe cigarette. Up to that time, they even denied it was addictive. Well, so we've got real problems in America today, but, you know, we seek, I believe, the degree of corruption we do, because we're a nation that's turned its back on its moral foundation, which was built upon the Christian truth. Would you agree with that?
Yes. To a large extent, it was. One thing about all these people, they came over to try to get out from under some what they consider tyranny. And we have a better tyranny than they left.
Well, of course, not when they came. When they came, it really wasn't that bad. It's just we've just progressively degenerated to the point where I believe we're a lot worse than it certainly was in Europe at that time.
Yes.
But the thing is, we don't have to lose America. We still have, at least we have the framework, and we have an awful lot of good people in America. They just need leadership. They need an exposure to the truth. And they have to have that desire for freedom, that, you know, the freedom being something that most people don't even appreciate, at least they won't appreciate until it's lost. But freedom is what makes life worth living, and without freedom, life has no meaning. I thought Mel brought that out beautifully in his movie Braveheart.
I'd like to quote a couple of people. One of them is Thomas Jefferson, that country is best governed, which is least governed. And the other is St. Thomas Aquinas, who said that the purpose of government is to preserve the freedom for the individual.
Sure.
So that he can have the freedom necessary to save his soul.
And, of course, really, the whole idea of freedom was based upon religious concepts. For we're told from the scriptures, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the whole idea that men had a right to be free was an evolution of the beliefs that came out of the Bible and the writings of people like John Locke and Samuel Rutherford and Montesquieu and Blackstone. These names mean very little to the average American because we never talk about that in America today.
I don't know whether it's taken for granted that we're free or taken for granted that we've lost our freedom.
Well, I think they're trying.
Either way, it is taken for granted.
I think that there is a conscious effort to give people a feeling that nothing can be done, that it's hopeless. And I don't believe it is hopeless at all. I believe that this latest CNN, USA Today poll that showed that 77% of the American people support Judge Roy Moore and they think the course was wrong suggests to me that there's an awful lot of Americans who are good Americans who see what's going on. They just can't put it all together. And we have to reach them somewhere or other. Well, would you like to take a call? We have somebody calling in from Kentucky.
Good place.
Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Chris calling from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I just have a comment. Thank you, Mr. Hutton Gibson, for putting this information out and putting up Butch Paul. He's a great man. I've learned a lot from him. And I myself was just very ignorant in my life, and now I've really woken up of what's going on, and I want to thank GCN and Radio Liberty and to educate me and people like you that really are out there. You know, when I just want to give a comment. You know, years ago, when your son starred in the movie The Road Warrior, and years later, here it is, many, many years later, that was back then when I was in high school, that's what the New World Order wants, people. They want to waste you. They want to take over and just have a wasteland. And I think that is a very example of what the New World Order is going to do to us.
They're doing a wonderful job creating a wasteland.
You know, I think the most amazing thing, we had a young man up visit today. He's a salesman. He used to have a job over in Silicon Valley making $80,000 to $100,000 a year. This was before the bubble burst. Now he has a job making $30,000 a year. Fortunately, he doesn't have a wife to support, but imagine what would have happened if he had a wife and a big salary and mortgages on his cars. And we are intentionally, or at least I should say the people who run the world, are intentionally impoverishing the American people, and the average American just doesn't see it happening. This is what really gets me, Chris. My job is to try to make them understand, and your job is to get educated here and then start talking to everybody you come in contact with and say, don't you understand what's happening?
That's a good point. And sometimes they walk away and they don't want to hear it, or they're just afraid of the truth. But, Dr. Stan, I'm not going to give up because this is very serious out here, and it's real what's happening to the American people.
And to that, do you have any thoughts for Chris before we let him go, Mr. Gibson?
Just trying to encourage him. I'll be successful.
All right. Well, you just keep doing what you're doing there, Chris, and keep listening to Butch Paul and keep listening to Radio Liberty, and we're going to be having a new program. Let's see, you're in Kentucky. Are you at Eastern Time?
I'm on Eastern Time. Yes,
all right.
I am.
Well, our new program, you'll be able to get on shortwave from 11 to 1, but you probably have to get a little sleep, too. Anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much, Chris.
God bless you.
Okay, let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. My comment is this. We are one more 9/11 away from losing it all. We're already under martial law. We have one more 9/11, and it will be one that was at the hands of the present administration. There was prior knowledge and collusion of the administration. And the people are going to be rounded up, the unemployed, the homeless, and those who do not have wealth, part of the elite, which is 95% of us. They're going to be put into FEMA camps, which are already set up. They're going to be called re-education centers, and they're going to, the first, on day one, you're going to be separated out from your families and forget everything you've known before. This is the New World Order, and we already have martial law. Proof is this. Go to an airport. You watch your wives and daughters and mothers being anally and vaginally probed.
Now, wait a minute, Ben. Ben, that is not really true. This is not happening.
No?
Ben, if it happened, you wouldn't be able to watch him. So, you know, you're not going to be able to make statements like that. And I like Ben, but what he's doing is just preaching fear. And the last thing we want is fear. We need people who are dedicated out of what's going on. But I will tell you that nobody has been to an airport and seen anybody being digitally probed. That's an absurd statement. And I hate to disagree with Ben, but I just can't have him putting out a statement like that that has no basis at all, in fact. And so we have to act responsibly when we're addressing the public and when we're talking really on radio, because our credibility, of course, is at stake. So we've got... now, Mr. Gibson, as we see what's going on today, what would you suggestion be to our listeners? Now, I know you feel that we are overtaxed, but there's nothing we can do about it until we get elected legislature who will put a stop to it, and most of them are simply going along with the administration. I believe that, of course, you're absolutely right that we have a monetary system that is out of control. But what can we do about that until the American people understand the significance of the Federal Reserve System and the central banks which really rule the world? So how are we going to reach the people with the truth?
I don't know. An electoral system isn't working very well either.
You're absolutely right.
So it's if you would ever... You know, the party system has to go, and the secret ballot has to go. It's the only way we can get anywhere.
How do you mean the secret ballot? Of course, we want a secret ballot. We don't want a public ballot, but we don't want electronic balloting. That would be the worst thing. I'd like to get back to paper ballots. It may not be very efficient, but at least there's a paper record.
Yeah, but the paper ballot isn't all that good either.
So what would you say?
You need someone to come in and stay in front of a few people who are standing there and making a record as the vote is done. Count the vote right there. Get the person to come out, hand his ballot to them, or read it to them, and get it registered and counted right there on the spot. Because anything else is cooked. The machines are crooked. I knew a man who demonstrated this in New Orleans one time. He got 200 reporters in, and they were each told, this is a foolproof voting machine they had here. And he said, well, I don't think it's foolproof. Let me have it for a while. He had it for a while. In came the reporters, and each one of them knew what everyone else was voting. They were voting 100 each way. And the vote came out 200-0.
Well, I think that it's a rather frightening thing. I think that voting machines are an abomination. I think that this is a path to tyranny to give the people the impression that they have representation, but they really don't. But, of course, the beauty of our Constitution was even if the majority of people voted for a tyranny, the Constitution prevented it from being imposed. That's what happened under FDR when FDR got the National Recovery Act passed that gave the government the ability to control everything. And a lot of people supported it, and the Supreme Court said, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. And, of course, it was then, of course, that FDR set out to pack the court and pack the court with people who belonged to the same little secret fraternity that he did. And they were the ones then that began to change America and to take God and prayer out of our schools.
Well, he did better than that. He got us into a war we didn't need. It was his only way out of the Depression. Because he was not trying to get us out of the Depression. He did everything to keep us from getting out of the Depression. But when he got us into the war, why, everything was forgiven. We all were going to work.
Yes, well, of course, this is exactly what happens, and it happens over and over again, is that wars are used to get everybody working and, of course, to draft large numbers of men and create artificial work shortages. And, of course, then the war production turns on. The trouble is, right now, we don't have the industrial base for a major mobilization. We'd actually have, if we were had a war with China, we'd have to go to China to get them to build a lot of our tanks or the transmission for our tanks. This is what's so incredible about what's going on today.
You know, that's why I say it's traitorous. It's treason. They drive the manufacturing capacity out of the country. They do it by tax. They do it by beefing up the opposition. The foreigners, put the foreigners in a position where they can undersell us for our own products.
and we subsidize those companies that go overseas to produce the products to undersell the remaining companies here, and then we wonder what happened to all the jobs.
Yeah. We don't... But you have to know, you have to look at it and say this, as Roosevelt said, if anything happens in politics, it was planned.
Right. Nothing happens by accident. I think people need to understand that. And what's happening today is planned. As our living standards are lowered, as our jobs leave, as our factories leave, why, of course, this is exactly what they intend. We're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, give a good deal of thought to secession. Because it can work.
All right, fine.
It's perfectly legal. In spite of the Civil War, they only showed who had more troops. More money behind.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. I really appreciate your willingness to come on here to Radio Liberty. Bye-bye, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. That was Mr. Hutton Gibson. I hope you enjoyed our interview and, of course, understood his wisdom. He's been around for a long time, and he loves America.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me simply mention that we also have and would like to suggest that people consider learning about our Constitution and our way of life. And the best way to do that is to join a study group for the Institute of the Constitution or to set one up yourself. And you can do that by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And ordering a kit for the Institute. It's 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Eidsmose, Professor of Constitutional Law. And, of course, there's a book that goes with it that explains what he's talking about, the Christian history of America, the most carefully kept secret. That this was known as a Christian nation for 150 years. And you say that today, well, you'd be laughed and ridiculed and demonized, but everybody knew it. Until about half a century ago. The Institute of the Constitution goes into the background of our Declaration of Independence. It goes into the background of our Bill of Rights. It goes into the background of the Federalist Papers. A wonderful opportunity to learn about America. Call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Or go to their website, which is IOTC Online. IOTC for Institute on the Constitution Online, and you can get a test kit, or a trial kit, and then, of course, get your minister to set one of these up, get your local community. We could put one on down at Loudoun Nelson Center. There are a lot of people who would love to learn about our Constitution, because if we don't know where we came from, how can we understand where we are today or where we're headed tomorrow? So let me suggest, if you want to know what you can do to save America, get a test kit for the Institute of the Constitution by calling 410-760-9068. Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I have to mention Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, I do hope many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family, which is how we're able to afford to do what we do 5 hours a day, reaching out across America and the world with the truth, the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. So our number again, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our December newsletter, which will explain why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, why, give us a call. We'll send you a free December newsletter, although you can get that off our webpage at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can pull down all of our newsletters and go through them. But the December newsletter is the one you want to understand Judge Roy Moore. Now, on the weekend, of course, we saw 60 Minutes interviewing John Kerry, and they casually mentioned he was a member of Skull and Bones. Do you know what Skull and Bones is? It's a secret occult society dating back to 1832. And, of course, if you know what they really do at their meetings, they actually wear black hoods and black gowns. And you'll want to get our four-tape set on the Skull and Bones. It's interviews with Chris Milligan and with Charlotte Isabey, with Alexandra Robbins. You really want to find out what Skull and Bones is, because it is a secret occult society. And would you like to have your Republican and your Democrat candidate both coming from that same secret occult society? You better know what Skull and Bones is, and you're not going to learn about it in the New York Times. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, this elitist organization in Northern California. And you're not going to hear about this. You'll never see this written up in your local newspapers. But we have a four-tape set, and we suggest that you get that and help us to get the information out. Now, we do have a number of other books on Skull and Bones. We have The American Establishment. We have a syllabus, actually, with all the names of the every member and where they are. We got that from a Skull and Bones book that was given to us by Charlotte Isabey, whose dad was into Skull and Bones. We have Chris Milligan's wonderful book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. All of these are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have Alexandra Robbins' book, Secrets of the Tomb. And although I believe there's a great deal of disinformation here, I believe that Alexandra Robbins was intentionally fed false information on this to confuse the American people about what Skull and Bones really is. But there is some very good truth there, and believe me, the Skull and Bones was deeply involved in the occult and, of course, with worship of the Nazi swastika. So you need to get this information. You need to understand what we're up against, because we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on the political and ideological battlefield. Those tape sets are Skull and Bones, The Bohemian Grove, and then, of course, we still recommend you get the video Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, which goes into the geopolitical significance of what's going on today. Diapracs in the church, the movement that is sweeping the Protestant church today. The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, four interviews with Malachi. And you'll be amazed at the fourth interview, which was done by John Leffler. And, of course, he tells about the election of the current pope. A story that, well, I'll tell you what, it even scared me. When you actually hear what really happened there at the Vatican Enclave. So all of these, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, Diapracs, Megiddo, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, all available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.